Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today I'm bringing you part two of a four-part series entitled Heroes of the Faith, with today's message specifically entitled Rahab, based off of Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. So let us dive into the Word today. Then Joshua secretly sent out two spies from the Israelite camps at Acacia Grove. He instructed them, "Scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho." So the two men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there that night. But someone told the king of Jericho, "Some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, "Bring out the men who have come into your house, for they have come here to spy out the whole land." Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, "Yes, the men were here earlier, but I didn't know where they were from. They left the town at dusk as the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you probably can catch up with them." Actually, she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them beneath bundles of flax she had laid out. So the king's men went looking for the spies along the road leading to the shallow crossings of the Jordan River. And as soon as the king's men had left, the gate of Jericho was shut. Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up on the roof to talk with them. "I know the Lord has given you this land," she told them. "We are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror, for we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt, and we know you did what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I have helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father and mother and brothers and sisters and all their families. We offer our own lives as a guarantee for your safety," the men agreed. "If you don't betray us, we will keep our promise and be kind to you when the Lord gives us the land." Amen. Sometimes we are to be bold to fulfill God's purpose despite our challenges and circumstances. When I was a pastor at my previous appointment, a challenge presented itself. Well, it was really more than a challenge. It was potentially a real problem for us. You see, back in 1975, when the congregation I served merged with another area congregation, the other congregation closed its doors and the building was sold to the township for $1. And from that point on, it was used by the town as a municipal court and jail. That is until the town disbanded its police force and relied on state police patrol. And for years, with no police force or purpose for the building sat empty and was left to fall into disrepair, even though still under town management. Now, of course, when the repair bills mounted and the costs became high, guess what happened? Now, if you guess that the town decided to, in a letter, tell the church that the property was now suddenly the church's since the town no longer used it, and that all the repairs were on the church to pay for. No, you probably didn't guess that, right? Well, that is exactly what they did. And that obviously was not cool. And I could not believe that a town, the leaders of our very community, would do that to a church, of all things. especially given the history that we basically gave the church building to the town for a dollar. As such, I found myself for the first time standing before a town council voicing my disappointment at the town's actions and reminding everyone there, for they had stated they had the legal right to do what they were doing. So I reminded everyone there that what was legal was not necessarily the same as what is right. Now that was risky because that could have created enemies of some people in the very town I was serving. And that is not a good thing for any pastor to have happen, but I took the risk on behalf of my church because my people didn't deserve that treatment. And as a representative of God, I would stand with them for what was right. I also took that for the community, that risk for the community as a whole, for if a township is willing to be crooked with a church, with a representative of God in their community, just imagine what it is willing to do towards its residents should the opportunity arise. So what I did was far bolder than I normally am. But you know what? God is bold through us. Amen? Now, let's quickly explore what scriptural boldness is before we go any further. In scripture, boldness is not simply an individual attribute or an act, but rather something given and enabled by God. So if you're being bold biblically, you're not being bold because you rock or you're awesome or you're bold. You're being bold because God has enabled you and given you the power to be that. So to be bold by God's power, well, that is actually to be humble in our own power. I'll say that again. To be bold by God's power is actually to be humble in our own power. And we as a congregation have seen this and know this to be true. And I'll give you an example, a very visceral and recent example. Look at the boldness of our congregation during the pandemic. And again, if you don't attend my church, I can only reference what we did in my church, but I'm sure this is true for your congregation as well. Look at the boldness of our congregation during the pandemic. We all were out of our depths in that. And yet, together through the powerful grace of God, we got stuff done, man. We really did. And our Sunday school director, Evie, for instance, went from not knowing how to operate even her flip phone, to organizing and recording our kids' rock videos. That came out of relying on God's power as opposed to her own. And our children are blessed for it. In fact, our whole kids' rock segment every Sunday came out of that. And our church created an entire online community during the pandemic. Not sure if we could even pull it off, but trusting that God would pull it off. And God did. I still go back and watch some of those services from the pandemic era. Hashtag craziness. And if you haven't, go back and check out the video of Kathleen singing Potter's Hands. In the Hands of the Potter was the song she sang in our sanctuary, and the cool effects we were able to get done. It was just really a great time. And then, and if you want to check that out, by the way, you can go to youtube.com/Newton, U-M, as in United Methodist Church. So that's Newton U-M Church. So youtube.com/Newton U-M Church. And you can see all of those videos and more that we have there. When we did that pandemic back in, when we did those services back in the pandemic, we started off with a team of a few people, myself, Kathleen and Christy during the earliest parts of it, then Henry, and then of course, we had then brought back into a more hybrid setting, the praise band and other things. So that, and we, again, we had a hybrid situation with one service, and then now we've expanded out to having our two services again. But that period would not have been possible but for us humbling ourselves, recognizing our own limitations and trusting in God's limitless possibilities. So let me give you a little background. Moses has died, and Joshua is leading the Israelites into the promised land. That is what our scripture is talking about today. Okay, so here's the background. Moses has died, Joshua is leading the Israelites into the promised land, and Joshua sent spies from his army to investigate the city before the Battle of Jericho. Rahab is instrumental in God's mission of entering into the promised land. When we read Rahab's words, we may be struck by the fear her people have of the Israelites, and we see in verses 8 through 11. Rahab lifts up that she and her people have heard about the Israelites' trip through the Red Sea, and that they also had been pretty merciless in the past with those with their enemies during their 40-year trek through the wilderness. Rahab mentions specifically Sihon and Og, two kings who refused to allow the Israelites to pass through their countries, but instead marched out to war against them, against both kings, their sons, and their armies. No survivors were left. So again, these two kings were asked, you know, let's pass through your land. The Israelites asked that, and the king said no, heck no. In fact, they didn't say no. They went out, amassed their armies, and just went out to war against these people who were just asking to pass through. And they brought their sons and their armies and everybody with them. And guess what? God was on the side of the Israelites, and no survivors were left. None. Not a one. So here come these very Israelites, and their kings are no doubt not going to turn their city over to the Israelites, the kings of Canaan. And here they are at Jericho, and they're claiming the land to be their own. They're saying their God has given them this land, so, you know, just step aside. And of course, that's not going to happen. Jericho's not going to lay down their walls and their armies and all of that and just let the Israelites in and, you know, take over. So what does this mean for Rahab or her country people? What is to become of her city of Jericho or her? Let's not forget her occupation, a prostitute, an occupation we may even misunderstand when we say it in English. In Hebrew, her name is Isha Zona, meaning, literally meaning, prostitute woman. And the Zona in her name may even indicate that she was a cultic prostitute, meaning a prostitute in a temple, which the Canaanite religion instituted. That is disputed, but that is possible. The first century historian Flavius Josephus, who also recorded the historical record of Jesus, proving his existence in history, recorded that Rahab was an innkeeper. And inns in the ancient world, we know, also doubled as brothels. So just because she may have been an innkeeper does not mean that, you know, the claim that she was a prostitute should be discounted. She could have been the head of the brothel, for all we know. But the fact of the matter is, they came to the home of a prostitute, and it turns out the home of that prostitute happened to be an inn, where she was the innkeeper, more than likely. In fact, that's what Flavius Josephus and other extra-biblical sources say. Regardless, what would become of poor Rahab and her people? She was no more than just a person caught up in something far bigger than herself. As a woman, she had less of a lot than the men in her patriarchal society, that's for sure, especially since her place was outside of the traditional family structure. I mean, what would become of them? Would they be no more like the Amorites after they were led by Sihon and Og to their doom against these violent and warring and obviously, pretty fierce people? Now, you may be shocked, but you can actually feel viscerally, the fear that Rahab has towards these spies and these people. But it's a fear that also kind of seems to be a respect, and almost like she sees a way out for herself. So, again, what does this mean for Rahab and her fellow Canaanites? God includes who God will, and this is the most important thing you need to recognize here, and this is number one. God includes who God will in God's story with humanity. Again, Josephus's record, as well as some Midrashic interpretations, suggest Rahab was an innkeeper. The author of Joshua records her as being a prostitute. Whether she was an innkeeper, a prostitute, or both, which is probably likely the both part, as a financially independent woman, Rahab went against the expectations of women in her time. As Kimberly Rousseau brings up in her book Revisiting Rahab, she would have been viewed as a threat to the order of society because she subconsciously threatened the patriarchal idea that men had complete control over women's bodies. Now, this is not in a modern sense when you think about women's bodies, but or having who has control over women's bodies. This isn't a healthcare issue here per se, but this is an all around thing back in the ancient world where women were supposed to be in their place, you know, and their place was rearing children after they birthed those children, and so obviously. Men, you know, in a patriarchal society get to say who gets to work and who doesn't, who's in what role and who isn't. And so, so her being an independent woman financially kind of stands in the face of that, culturally speaking. Importantly to the story, Rahab was also an outsider to Israel. She would not have been expected to play such a critical role in God's plan. Furthermore, it was not typical to name women in genealogies. Yet in the genealogy of Jesus, Rahab, I repeat, Rahab is mentioned along with other women heroes of the faith. In Matthew, don't believe me? Here, I'll read it for you in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. And of course, we all know Jesse is the father of David. So what does this say about how God works and with whom God works? How does God break through expectations and uphold those who are marginalized? Throughout Scripture, we see this time and time again. God, and this is second point, God invites us to be bold. God invites us to be bold. There's no other way around it. God invites boldness. Rahab is bold and lies about hiding the spies, the enemy spies of her own people. Her boldness is seen in her hiding the spies and making a request of the spies to save her household. Let me ask you this. If this were Jericho, if the United States of America were Jericho, how would Rahab's actions be viewed by us, her own people? What she is doing is bold because there are zero guarantees for her in all regards. First, Rahab cooperates with the military enemies of her city who are spying on her. People trying to find a way to get in and take them over. And she also negotiates with Joshua's spies to save her life and that of her family. So often we think of right and wrong as clear-cut, as black and white choices. Now, we often hear people say that we should follow authority and follow the laws and all of that because God put those leaders in place, and that is scriptural, and we should. But here is a woman that we uphold as not only a hero of the faith, but she's literally an ancestor to Jesus. Jesus is her descendant. David is her descendant. So here we are, and she is doing something that most of us would say is wrong. Just plain old wrong. You don't let enemy spies into your people's place and to save your own family or whatever the reason is. You just don't do that. Yet Rahab shows that context and discernment are key to decision making. And so what she's doing is not necessarily wrong. In fact, it lines up with what God is wanting done. So let me ask you this. What are the bold things we are called to do? You may say to yourself, well, I have no clue what I'm being called to do. I am sure that is a question Corrie ten Boom had she been afforded to live in different times and circumstances. I'm sure Corrie ten Boom might have asked that. But she was not afforded those times or those circumstances. No, Corrie was a Dutch watchmaker who risked everything along with her family, her father, sister, and other family members, to aid Jewish people to escape from Nazi Germany. Corrie and her family were later caught, and she was arrested and sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp. She was not released until after her sister and father died in prison. She was never to see them again. Corrie's most famous book, The Hiding Place, is an autobiography that recounts her family's efforts and how she found and shared hope in God while she was imprisoned at the concentration camp. Finally, as a people of faith, we are being attentive to the working of God in the world. Rahab states, "The Lord your God is indeed God, in heaven above and on earth below." This may have been an unexpected testimony from a woman and a foreigner. We may view this as a surprise, but God does not see this as a surprise at all. We ask, can anything good come out of Jericho, just like Nathan asked in regard to Jesus, if anything good could come from Nazareth? Friends, God is continually doing a new, unexpected thing. Which means this: the world may assign certain labels to you, and you may even do this to yourself. Yet do not underestimate what God can do in and through you to take bold steps to serve God's purposes. What are the decisions before you or your family this week to be bold, to be an agent for God's purposes? What decisions are before you and your family to be bold this week? Even if you are new to the faith and or new to my congregation or another congregation, God has purpose for you too. And you need not wait until you are perfected in order to boldly discover it. Here's an easy way for those seasoned or newbies alike to tell what their purpose is in any situation. In the name of Jesus Christ, ask yourself these three vital questions. Am what I am choosing life-giving for myself and for others? Am I doing what is right and good? And finally, am I doing what is most living? What will bring about good fruit? If you ask yourself those questions, you'll rarely find yourself steering far from where Christ would like you. As a congregation, where are we being called to live out our boldness for Christ? What bold decisions are before us? And how do we faithfully make them? Remember, it only takes a spark to light the proverbial fire. The question is, are you ready to start striking the flint? Are you ready to commit to being a part of this faith community, or whatever faith community you're in, to go all in, just as Rahab did, for the glory of God? If so, let us march onward, carrying the cross of Christ as He, our Lord and Savior, goes on before us. He has prepared the way. Let's get going. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be here today and to hear this message and to be inspired by it, but also challenged. Help us to grow in the ways that you are calling us to and to go all in for you, just as Rahab did. No matter who we are, no matter what labels have been attached to us, no matter what the world thinks of us, Lord, we know we are loved by you, called by you, and included in your kingdom. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I want to thank you and praise you for tuning in. And since I went over on time, I just would say check out the episode notes. And if you can give, thank you for doing so. But with that said, I will say, remember, you are richly blessed, so be a blessing to others. Amen.